The following is an encore episode of Convergence with Michelle McAloon and Ellen Taylor. On this episode, Michelle and Ellen talk with Justin Hart about his book, Gone Viral, How COVID Drove the World Insane. We hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Convergence, where we dive into issues of faith and culture. I am Ellen Taylor, and along with my co-host, Michelle McAloon, we try to have these conversations that hopefully won't make you too crazy, but they are bound to in today's world. Hey, Michelle, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Ellen, how are you doing in Lower Alabama?
We got our first taste of winter this week. And
what, it went to 80?
No, it was at 80. That was fall.
Oh, okay.
It was hit the low of the 30s this week, but it's going away.
Wow.
It's just a taste to remind us in 2 months in December, get used to it every day. But glasses half full, fall is still here for a little bit longer. A lot of things going on in the world. I think we're going to touch on all of a lot of elements of it with today's guest. Joining us for the show today is Justin Hart. He is the founder of RationalGround.com, and he is the author of a new book called Gone Viral, How COVID Drove the World Insane. And I can't wait to have this conversation. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Ellen, Michelle, great to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Justin, I tell you, what the hell happened? Because this book is coming out at exactly the right time, because I think people are starting to look back and say, are you kidding me? We did what? We let them do that to us. I really think there's a collective voice coming out of protest, of anger, and I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger.
You know, there was an editorial in a newspaper in Des Moines, and it said, the American people are perfectly willing to do whatever it takes to help in these issues, but they greatly dislike learning later on that it was all for naught, right? And that was written 100 years ago in 1919 after the great Spanish flu. Then history repeats itself, and we haven't learned all those interventions, the social distancing, the masks, the plexiglass, the mandates, the stay-at-home orders, the lockdowns, the business shutdowns, everything in between, all the evidence points to it had little to no effect of curbing the pandemic, and probably, especially for our children, caused even more harm.
Not only caused harm, which I think will be debated for decades, it caused discord in families, in workplaces. People lost jobs over these government mandates that it felt like they were just kind of made up at times, like they did not have any science behind them or data behind them. And I think that's what we're uncovering now, is this real lack of that they had any sort of scientific direction on this, and it was a run and things were decided on emotion. And I think that's why everyone is getting really upset at this point.
You know, there's in my research for the book called Gone Viral, How COVID Drove the World Insane, right? I came across some really interesting stories, one handed down through rabbinic literature, which your audience will find very interesting, about Noah's Day and the people who didn't make it on the ark, right? What happened was, when the waters came to their hips, they grabbed their children, they held them to their chest. When the waters came to their neck, they put their children on their shoulders. But Michelle and Ellen, when the waters came above their neck, they put their kids underneath their feet so they could survive. That was the type of terrible, awful, pain-inducing panic that many of our health overlords chose to use to basically burden our children with these terrible consequences and interventions.
Absolutely. I love how you open this book too. You state, I'm not a health professional, but guess what? The government intervened in every aspect of my life. And that is the government overreach in this. And the other thing that is so scary is how we just abandoned our rights. We allowed this to happen. It was like this collective scare, this collective agreement. Okay, we have no more rights. Government take over. It was scary, very scary.
Yeah, it was intensely so. And I think a lot of people, over the first 2 weeks, it was kind of exciting, right? A little stay-at-home thing. We're all in this really interesting moment. But when they extended it and then they gave the baton to the 50 states and the 3,200 county health directors and the 13,000 school districts around the country, it opened up Pandora's box to a panoply of just mishmash, right? And the pandemic became very localized here in San Diego, where I am, where Ellen, it's 71 degrees out here.
Thank you.
Very nice
Thank you for reminding me,
but
Justin.
we in my area, if I went into a grocery store en masse, they'd chase me down the aisles. But if I went 15 miles to my east to God's country in Poway there in California here, they wouldn't bother me much at all. And so depending on who your neighbors were and what happened, it's really crazy. The book is really designed for those of us who have known over the last 2 years, deep in our bones, that these interventions were wrong. And also for those, like you said, who are just now making the journey back from that dark, dark fear mongering. It's set up as a host of Mythbusters, right? We take each one of the issues and we blow them away, both with stats and with stories. Here's one that kind of cuts across politics and everyone can understand and no one can dispute. We believe that in the spring of 2020, we missed about 250,000 cases of potential domestic abuse. Why? Because it's typically sharp-eyed teachers who catch the bruise on Johnny's arm. The mom comes in, she has a black eye. Dad looks really nervous and disheveled, right? These things are reported, they're then caught. Most of them don't turn into domestic abuse, but again, kids weren't in school for that to happen. Can you imagine just the absolute wreckage that that has caused just in that one stat?
That is a sad statement. I don't even think we've caught back up to all the things that we missed. Did you find, because it's been quite obvious certain areas of the country did better than others in stepping off the crazy, they stepped off the crazy train sooner rather than later. And did anything surprise you when you were kind of looking at the broad spectrum, particularly across the United States, at the differences in some areas versus others?
Yeah, it seemed to be that, and we knew this early on, that the main impacts of COVID, your prediction whether it was going to be a tough bout for you or not, was levels of obesity and lack of vitamin D. And so, whose crazy policy was it to stick us inside, out of the sun, ordering takeout, everyone putting on their COVID-19, like we all did, right? The 19 pounds that a lot of people, and then facing the pandemic after that, it's a terrible, terrible policy. What I think was most interesting is I'm in California where things were locked down. Literally, they padlocked my daughter's favorite swing set at the local park, right? And that was for an entire year. Whereas Florida was open, relatively open, kids and schools were unmasked and open as early as the spring of 2020. And when you do the age-adjusted mortality rates, that is the level at which people died after they contracted COVID, they're exactly the same. But the impacts are very dramatic when you look at our kids, what they're going through as far as a loss of learning. Those are things they can't catch up. We're adults, folks. We'll deal with it. It became very political. We'll take that to the polling booth here in a few weeks. But I think in the end, our kids deserve more. I remember I have two young kids, and they were in preschool, and the teacher approached us and said, "I'm so sorry. They're not ready for kindergarten. It's been so difficult. I mean, try teaching these kids how to pronounce the letter H through a mask."
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think too, just this week, Justin, I've been seeing a lot of stories that now we're starting to get test results across the board. And oh, shocking, they're below levels, grade level testing, and there's going to be a lot of shocking reports coming out of this.
Yeah, the go ahead. Go ahead there, Michelle.
I was just saying, what was interesting, which you brought out in your book, was about the teachers' unions. The teachers' unions, they did not have the children in mind. I don't know what they had in mind, but they were not for the children. They were stepping on top of the children in that flood.
My,
Absolutely.
yeah, my my kindest interpretation of that is that they were, their leaders fed them just, massive amounts of misinformation. I don't know if people know, but the average age of death for someone of COVID is 80 years old. And compare that to, for example, the Spanish flu, the average age was 29. I think we'd be having a much different conversation if there were hundreds of thousands of millennials and young children dying. 80% of all the deaths happened over the age of 65, which has a much different impact on society than people that, you know, the average age of a teacher is 30 years old. They literally, a healthy teacher under the age of 40, she has a better chance of dying in a plane crash than dying of COVID.
And to that point about teachers, because it really was the unions driving that. And it's hard because you kind of give a broad description to all the teachers didn't want to teach. But it really was sad that the teachers in particular were not out there fighting for their kids. And instead, you saw the worst of it in social media, the teacher on the beach in Puerto Rico, not upset at all that schools won't reopen. Meanwhile, she's voting remotely. Keep them closed. Keep them closed. That was kind of a sad description of the dedication to our teachers. And I'm sure there's a thousand stories like that about other professions or other people that were really in it for their own comfort or their own safety. And we're not looking out for anybody else in this, particularly the kids.
Yeah, the institutions, both our health institutions, our education institutions, they have taken it on the chin. And it's going to take some time to rebuild that trust because people right now are really upset that, this did that damage. We're seeing speech pathologists through the roof. If any of your audience are speech pathologists, you have job security from here to eternity, unfortunately. But look, it's a devastating impact. And just the economic woes that we're feeling right now are a direct result of the decisions that happened both in 2020 and then with the Biden administration and their last bout of fiscal overspending on these things to compensate. And really, the book goes through a lot of these details so that people have that memory. But also, look, these are tactics and strategies that they will use for the next round of COVID, the next pandemic, and perhaps even, something else like climate change. If they come hammering on our doors and say, we're going to weld you inside your apartment because, what you breathe is killing the planet and what you breathe is killing grandma. Both of those things they've now convinced us of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Justin, why did this happen? What the heck? Well, why did we lose our minds? Yeah. Why did we lose our minds?
Well, I think the kindest interpretation is that the vast majority of people were mostly like, look, I don't want to get into the fight, right? But then they quickly realized that their rights were being quashed, their rights to assembly, their rights to free speech. Heck, the government shut down my Twitter account and my Facebook account. I have another lawsuit I'm filing this week with the Liberty Justice Center here in the next few weeks on Facebook, Twitter, and the government, because we have direct evidence that they were going after people and saying, you're not towing the narrative. That's really disconcerting stuff. Why did it happen? I think that the virus was real. The overreaction was paramount to their plan of basically latching on to this decaying carcass of democracies and societal empathies. They were taking advantage of all those moments. And, it's not just a conspiracy theory. They just say it out loud. Like the World Economic Forum will just say, we need to take this moment and leap into this gap and rechange the world. They really do see themselves as this great hubris gods in the sky that can stop a viral respiratory pathogen that's aerosolized, right? It's just not going to happen. And then you see up north, we just had this last week, Boston University playing along with its thing. I'm wondering what the cover story will be for that. It won't be a wet market. Maybe it'll be like a lobster roll from Faneuil Hall or a hot dog from Fenway Park. I'm not sure what the cover story will be there.
Well, that is a little scary. And to your point, I think there's probably a lot of people that took notes during this whole lockdown and what the government and institutions did, because they are taking notes for how they can do it better next time, sadly. But I think the other parallel storyline alongside that is the reawakening of people that realize their rights were trampled on, their health was perhaps put in danger, but perhaps not. And we were obligated to do things that went against our moral conscience. So I think the next one also might be a little harder to shovel onto the populace. What do you think of that?
I think that's right. That's a difficult prospect. You know, we kind of see these constant frames around the variants that are coming out, and it becomes a very much cry wolf incident, right? They lose more and more trust. As you mentioned, not a lot of people taking the uptake on this latest vaccine. I think they're going to wait and see. But I think also if there really is a health emergency, we know how the sausage is made. We're not going to terribly trust these people. They're going to have to rebuild that trust immensely. And it's having its impact. The first people to really call attention to this, folks, were oncologists in the spring of 2020. And they'd call us up and they say, well, either COVID has cured cancer or something else is happening altogether, because they were seeing half as many cancer diagnoses in shop as they were the previous year. Why? Because people were too scared to go to the doctor. And I always say, if your audience will just think back, you probably know someone who had COVID. Heck, you probably had COVID yourself. You probably maybe know one, maybe two people that were hospitalized with it. Maybe you know one or two people, maybe more, that died of COVID, but it's rare and rare. It's mostly maybe elderly. But I definitely know that you know someone over the past 2.5 years that died very suddenly of a late stage diagnosed cancer, and maybe more people that, you know, that was really sudden. That impacts on our health are extraordinary, and they're measurable too. So we're going to be watching these very carefully.
I know a lot of people that are my age now. I'm 58. I'm athletic. But I know a lot of people that are around my age that have had some really weird things happen. And these are athletic people. I'm in a military community, so I'm around a bunch of, you know, thoroughbreds. And these people have had blood clots. They've had heart issues. And so did you, in your research, did you see anything about the association of the vaccine with some of these secondary issues such as heart and lung and what's happened? Sudden death has been another issue.
Yeah, we really did. And we saw it early on. My team has been part of peer-reviewed studies that have looked at the impact of the vaccine, especially on young men who it seems to really track out with this myocarditis at a rate that's like 10 times what you would see on a normal background of just getting a vaccine on things. And what happens, we believe, is that a lot of people had COVID. A lot of people didn't know it. So your body already has these major antibodies. When you double down on that with the vaccine and these, you know, these recently tested sort of technologies, the mRNA technologies, those come in and you create sometimes these immune complexes where the particles don't know where to go because everything's full. So they go to the outer systems and your system goes tilt. A lot of kids experiencing joint pain because of this. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of people, especially males, who are seeing, you know, serious heart conditions. And we think you can attribute that to the vaccine. I guarantee you, we already have data that it throws a woman's menstrual cycle off, or it can, by 1 or 2 days. We have multiple other issues, just recently discovered traces of the vaccine coming through in recent mother's breast milk, right? And that's concerning because none of this is approved for 6-month-olds or younger. We have some real issues. And now the CDC, as we speak with CDC, or as this week, they are voting on pushing the recommendation of child vaccinations down to the states. Lots of states will immediately pick that up and you know, mandate that for their children. We've never, ever mandated a vaccine that hasn't been in the clear for at least 15 years before we gave that to children as far as the school schedule goes.
And that story hitting the news this week seems surreal to a lot of people, that why would we force this on children when countries across Europe are pulling back on giving it to children? The Surgeon General in the state of Florida is not recommending it to men under the age of 40. And so there doesn't seem to be clarity. And the CDC, it feels to me like, is really going to lose their credibility if they push this through, just because...
Going to lose? Okay. They've lost it. Yeah.
I was being generous. Because... given all the stories, the anecdotal stories, like you said, everybody knows these anecdotal stories. And now they're being followed up by writings by doctors and other groups that are really looking into some of these points, where we were all just talking to each other for the last 6 months. Hey, my so-and-so, my uncle passed away or whatever. So now the CDC, I think they really put themselves out there. And you made it at one point in there, the medical community. How many people are going to go and get a flu shot this year? How many people are really going to think twice about advice they're given from medical organizations or even their doctors? So it really cut the credibility a lot. And I think when we look back on this, we're going to look that this was follow the money trail. This was
Yeah, I think
big
so.
pharma, it really feels like, because with this CDC recommendation, the government's obligated to buy all those vaccines for all those underprivileged kids.
Right. Look, these are difficult things to measure through. I never like to accuse people of, but the evidence is very strong that the incentives are all out of whack. But then just think about all the things they got wrong, whether it was how the disease is transmitted. The big one was asymptomatic impact on transmission, and that cascaded into everything. The fatality rates, the lockdowns, the school closures. Just think about the tens of millions of dollars we spent on plexiglass, which is still up in many places. And the CDC recommends against that now because it creates another surface area on which stuff can cling and bounce off of and everything else. Ridiculous notions. We blew it, hands down, across the board.
That's what I never understood was asymptomatic lockdown. That doesn't even make sense. And so I'm going to lock down because I might have a cold, but I don't have any symptoms for a cold. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, the Biden administration likes to say that the schools were all opened in the fall of 2021, but it was lockdown and school closures by proxy. My own daughters, every kid went through these 10-day stay-at-home orders once, twice, or three times because of these mandates where if you were even exposed to the slightest bit, you have to stay home. My daughter, 14-year-old, at a private classical Christian school that was built on the pillars of rhetoric and reason, all of a sudden they folded like a card table and they started doing these contact tracing and sending kids home. We said, well, why is she home? Why can't she go to school? Well, she's not vaccinated. Well, what about the other kids? Well, they're vaccinated. They can go back to school. Well, can she test to stay? No, because she wasn't wearing a mask at the time. Oh. And then we said, well, what about the kid who tested positive? Well, he was vaccinated. Well, I mean, it's just the unfairness of the whole thing was just so paramount. We pulled our kids out. We have been with this school for 14 plus years, and it was devastating just to say, we're not going to do that anymore. It's just devastating.
This if this CDC ruling goes through of putting this vaccination onto the rotation of kids, I've read that it could destroy public education in this country. Now, I can't imagine it's going to get that far because there's going to be a lot more pushback, but this could even have more repercussions. And yet we are still kind of mocking the ones that we did the last 2.5 years, 3 years, it feels like if 10 years, that we had to go through. And yet we're going to pile more on this. And so the madness is still continuing, even though we recognize it was madness.
Well, in the book, we provide in the background of the appendix a lot of letters that we've sent to mayors, to county boards, to school boards, kind of as a templates that you can use because what you need to convey are all these facts, but important that you capture the stories too of these kids, these people, the impact on families. It's devastating. We need to lock that in so that people understand that we should never be able to face this again. I have it on good authority that if there is a changing of the guard here in November, that they do want to do hearings on this. I think that's necessary. We need that transparency so we can understand everything from the origin of the virus itself to the origin of who made the decision to lock down the country and why. And so these things will go on and on. We're going to have some real difficult moments here, but we're going to have to face those quickly. And hopefully people can find the tools they need in the book to grab it. So.
And it's so important for the United States to do that because you know what? And I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but monkey see, monkey do. And the United States has led the way. If the United States has stood up and said, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be rational. We're going to be logical. Then the rest of the world would have followed suit. When Biden a couple weeks ago said the pandemic is over, guess what? It took Europe off the hook. I mean, so it was really important that he said that because Europe is off the hook now for it. So, and there's no one talking about what am I trying to say? Boosters over here. Also,
Right.
do you realize that the Department of Defense missed their recruiting goal by 40,000, and they blame it on, especially with the National Guard, for on the boosters and the
Many
vaccine.
too.
Oh
They're
yeah.
not going. They're not going down that road again, they've said.
We're
Nope, nope,
speaking
nope.
with Justin Hart. The book is Gone Viral: How COVID Drove the World Insane. And it might be useful, like you said, there's letters in the back because the fight is going to continue. And the repercussions of this are enormous. The lockdowns, and particularly, Michelle, where you are sitting in Europe, a cold winter ahead, the food shortages and just the things that cascade from bad decisions, and just the food shortages, I think we are not even prepared for that are going to come down the line.
Yeah, it's an interesting ride. Even on those, like something like TP, you remember all the runs on
Oh,
toilet
yeah.
paper that we had to the stores. Well,
Absolutely.
in researching the book, I found out why. It's because, if you'll excuse me, ladies, we do half of our business at our businesses, right? And so all of a sudden, the entire industry had to shift towards the more Charmin cozy type of stuff you use at home rather than the big industrial rolls that come into the back of the buildings and stadiums and colleges. And so, actually, a real funny thing for your users, go Google Charmin Forever and you'll see how Charmin is trying to repurpose all of these old industrial rolls. It's a large roll of toilet paper that will last you a month. It comes with a metal mount that you put right next to the toilet, and it's called Charmin Forever. But you Great marketing, because they knew they had all this leftover stuff that isn't being used in buildings or wasn't used. What are they going to do with it? Oh, well, they're good marketers. So, but that sort of thing is just a taste of one industry and the impact that had on people across the world.
Incredible, absolutely incredible. I cannot encourage people enough to get this book because this book, and you know what? This was a good shot in the arm for democracy, I think,
Is
because
that the
let's
right
take it
analogy?
back.
Is that, yeah.
Shot.
Very funny,
That's
Justin.
great.
Wow, he's on his game.
That's right, Justin. All right.
No, you can
Justin.
get the book. You can go to goneviralbook.com, goneviralbook.com. That'll take you right to Amazon to order. It came out on Tuesday, on the 18th, and so it's fresh. Grab it while you can, and I'd love to see you guys again sometime. This is a great conversation.
It is, you know, this story is not yet done, Justin. I feel like you might have a sequel because
Oof.
it's going to ratchet it up as we try to unwind ourselves from this, and then the complications and the conflicts from the two sides trying to unravel this mess we made, and that's not going to be pleasant. But I'm sure
Yeah.
you're going to have a good perspective on it going forward.
We want to get you during the hearings.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, we
Yes.
do.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to see
All
that
right. Thank
CDC
you. Thank you,
lined
Ellen. Thank you, Michelle. You guys are great. You guys are perfect. Thank you.
Thanks,
Oh,
Justin.
Justin
All
Hart, the
right.
book has gone viral, as he said, how COVID drove the world insane. We are crazy. Michelle McAloon, but we will live to talk about this another week because there's more madness going on every day.
Makes life interesting. All right. God bless, Justin Hart.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. For Michelle McAloon, I am Ellen Taylor. Thanks for listening to Convergence. Have a blessed day.